Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is, what's the date? Wednesday, September 10th, 2014, and I'm here in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. The sun is shining today, beautiful late summer day, and we're going to be talking today about fruits and vegetables, why you need to eat your fruits and vegetables, and it's really fascinating. It's probably something that you don't know anything about, because I'm still learning about this subject. My guest today is Pamela Seefeld. She is a pharmacognosist. And what that means is that she uses medicinal plants instead of drugs. And she's very, very, very effective at this. She's right here in Clearwater, Florida with me. And I met her because a friend of mine told me how she had gotten his mother off of all of her prescription drugs by using medicinal plants. And that right away she started doing better. And I, of course, immediately went to her and she started helping me with problems that I've been having with my body that I've been trying to handle for years and years and years. And all the things that I had done handled them some, but not as much as I would like. And so she's gave me some medicinal plants, and we're being quite successful at taking care of problems in my body that I have otherwise not been able to take care of. So I'm very happy to have her on. She's on now. I'm having her on every other Wednesday, so the next show will be 2 weeks from now. She has so much knowledge and so much information. We're just going through all kinds of what's coming up. We've got it all scheduled out through the end of the year about what we're going to talk about in terms of how medicinal plants and foods can be used to heal instead of taking drugs. And she knows all about drugs, too, because she is a registered pharmacist and is trained in that as well. So, hi, Pamela.
Great to be here.
Thank you. I'm very happy that you're back. I know what we're talking about today is cell signaling and how eating fruits and vegetables can help your cells create health. So why don't you just start by telling us what is cell signaling?
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, so the cell is just exactly what it sounds like. Your cells communicate with each other, and they have like little signals, hidden messages, perhaps you would call them. And the messages that they send each other determine if the cells are going to be robust and healthy, and they're not going to cause cancer, or it's going to be the other extreme where you're going to be actually repelling cancer, stopping the blood vessels from going to a cancerous site. And so the cell signaling from fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to talk about the flavonoids and the compounds in these fruits and vegetables, how the science is pretty concrete, and it shows exactly what you can eat, what you can take for supplements to enhance the cell signaling so that cancer cannot form in the body.
That's just so amazing. And it also comes back for me, it comes back to, I keep seeing that nature knows best. And when we come back to just being aligned with nature and eating natural foods and taking natural supplements, that's exactly what our bodies want. It just keeps being proven over and over again.
Well, it is. And so we know in herbal medicine, and if you look in the plant kingdom, there's three bioflavonoids that we look at a lot. Okay, and we use those actually in herbal medicine. There's quercetin, hesperidin, and rutin. Quercetin was originally found in apples and in onions. Rutin was originally found in buckwheat. And hesperidin is found in the pithy part that's around grapefruit. That's where they originally located that. I use quercetin and rutin probably exclusively more so than the hesperidin. But when I was looking, and I went to the National Library of Medicine because I like to have everything being very scientific and to the point and very recent, so I did a recent search of some of the bioflavonoids, and I found some interesting information that was just recently published. Actually, first one of these studies just published August 28th of this year, so it's very recent. And it talks about quercetin preventing prostate cancer through cell signaling, how it's signaling to stop prostate cancer from dividing. Very, very interesting. Also, and this is something actually I wasn't quite aware of, quercetin looks like it's preventing neurodegenerative diseases. And this is also a very recent study. This was of August 7th of this year in Neuroscience. So these are major journals. They're publishing things about bioflavonoids that show disease prevention, and it's all through cell signaling. It's affecting the way the cells communicate with each other and preventing disease in the process.
Well, now tell us just a little more about, like, could you paint a picture of what happens between the cells when they're signaling each other? So, and how the bioflavonoids and other phytochemicals affect that. Like, tell us what the cycle is.
Okay, so what happens is there's good signals and bad signals. We're going to try and make it easy because I don't want to make it too difficult.
Yeah, let's make it easy.
Yes, exactly. But easy for everybody to understand. So there's good signals and bad signals, okay? And the cells have a potential to put out both, okay? So we know that if, for some reason, bioflavonoids and flavonoids and sesquiterpenes and alkaloids and phenolics, these are all these different compounds that are in the food. You see, the plants make these compounds to prevent herbivores from eating them, okay? So the plants aren't making this just for no reason at all. Quercetin, in particular, is being made by the plant to maintain its structure of its leaves. If they took quercetin away from plants, the leaves would fall to the ground. It maintains vascular stability in the vessels that are in the leaf. So what happens is when you take these components, it interferes and it blocks the bad signals, okay? But the good signals are actually enhanced. And it does this through several different mechanisms. What we're seeing is that it can reduce inflammation, and cytokines definitely play a part in disease processes, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're just recently realizing how these cytokines, and cytokines make you fat too. People do not realize that. That's why when people eat a plant-based diet, when they're having a greater proportion of flavonoids in their diet, quercetin, rutin from buckwheat, all these different components, that's why we know that when cytokines decrease, and those are inflammatory cytokines, they're actually produced by the fat cells, the adipose cells. When they decrease, that you lose weight. It's not just because you have less calories coming in. You actually are affecting the signaling out of the fat.
Wow.
I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. So again, that's when people eat fruits and vegetables, and that is what helps the cells signal your body to lose weight.
Exactly right. Yes, we found here, this is also another new study that was published in the Journal of Nutrition in June of this year. And we found that overall, when you take quercetin, you can take this as a supplement. There's different doses that I use for different indications. You can take it as a supplement. And quercetin, they're seeing here that in cancer patients, it prevents severe weight loss. But in normal patients, it actually can help prevent these cytokines from circulating and prevent weight loss. So it's actually going to help for both situations. Someone that has cancer, but also someone that's healthy.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's so interesting how these things work. It's just, it's boggling my mind because, you know, especially, let's just talk about weight loss for a second. Well,
correct.
Yeah, let's talk about weight loss for a second because there's so much emphasis on, lowering the calories in and burning calories. And it's all about calories and balancing them. But really, there's all these other things going on that affect
it. That's exactly right.
And it isn't just a calorie balance.
No, it's not. And I think it's really important to realize that because this is what we're really told in the media, and that, you know, you need to exercise a lot, which I work out all the time, but you need to exercise a lot. You need to eat just low calories. And people are associating that the fruits and vegetables that you're eating, okay, this type of diet, when you have two-thirds of your diet is fruits and vegetables, which is what I recommend, when you're doing that, they're thinking, well, okay, I'm consuming less calories, that's why I'm losing weight. It's not the reason why. The calories are part of the component, but the big part is that we're saying, okay, it's affecting inflammation and these cytokines that are coming in and out of the fat that make you more fat. Cytokines, when inflammation, this is why when people are kind of overweight, they tend to have a lot more arthritis, lupus, all these different diseases. Well, it's not just because that the weight's affecting it. It's the fact that the cytokines being produced in the fat are making you gain more weight and making you have pain. So when you take these components, it's kind of blocking these cytokines. So the circulating amount, the net amount is decreasing, and so these negative signals that are coming from the cytokines in the fat are reduced.
And then you don't have those problems anymore.
The pain goes away. Wow. You lose weight. I mean, that's what's really happening. I think this is very, very important for people to realize that it's not all about this guilt trip about how many calories you're eating a day. It's not about that. It's about what you're eating supplement-wise and food-wise to change the signaling of the cells so that your body is more in harmony and the cytokines are decreased, the fat goes away, and you feel better.
We're going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She is a pharmacognosist, which is a pharmacist who uses medicinal plants to heal. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is pharmacognosist Pamela Seafeld. And what she does is that she uses medicinal plants instead of drugs to heal the body. Now, Pamela, before the break, we were you made the comment that that we should be eating 2/3 fruits and vegetables. That's a lot of fruits and vegetables, especially for people who are not eating them. I mean, I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, but I don't even think I eat 2/3 fruits and vegetables. And if all the fruits and vegetables people are eating is iceberg lettuce salad with a slice of tomato on it and lots of dressing. What does that look like to eat 2/3 fruits and vegetables?
Well, that's a good point. And I'm not saying that I'm always perfect at that, but maybe too, we can try and focus in the vegetables and fruits that you eat have to have high impact. So maybe it's not 2/3 of your diet. Maybe it's even half your diet, but the things you're eating, like you're talking about the iceberg lettuce, which has low nutritional value. We know that the high nutritional value, are these plants that have not been modified so much over the time period. Okay. So we know scallions, onions, garlic, green apples, they have not been modified over the past 100 years, okay? They pretty much look the same, you know, arugula, dandelion greens. And believe it or not, what's really high in nutrition is watercress because that has not been modified at all. That's really basically a wild plant. So incorporating, I'm a big fan of incorporating these plants.
I have heard that vegetables and fruits that have a lot of color in them have more nutrient. But this is the first time I've heard somebody say plants that are not, haven't been modified. And that kind of goes back to the paleo idea of what people ate many, many years ago. And I am very much in favor of people eating as close to nature as possible. But I haven't ever, I've never divided my fruits and vegetables into how can I even say this? When I was gardening in California, I would grow heirloom varieties, and I loved eating those heirloom varieties because those are the natural non-hybrids. But when you go into I'm not shopping at the supermarket, so I'm not even going to say that. But if I go to the natural food store or even to a farmer's market, at a farmer's market, you can ask the farmers what they planted, but at the natural food store, you don't know whether these are hybrids or heirlooms, unless they're labeled heirloom, and they're practically not. I mean, even organic, most of what they're growing is hybrid.
Well, that's very true. What I would tell you, though, is that what I make a point of doing, and it's pretty easy to do, is my breakfast always has a green apple associated with it, okay, because with the inulin that's present in it, the bacteria in your gut really like it. It's like their healthy food. They munch on it, okay? So that's a good start. We look at the gala apples and the granny, the Golden Delicious, all those different apples. They have been modified a lot, and they have a lot of sugar. So a Granny Smith apple is a great way to start the day with maybe some Greek yogurt and some nuts. That's typically what I have, okay? So that has a protein, has the carbohydrates and the fat, but the protein, the carbohydrates are going to be liberated out of the green apple because of the pectin. It keeps your blood sugar very stable. So it's a really good fresh start to the day. I would say, too, that the garlic and the onions, I've just put tons of that stuff in my lunch and dinner. So we're really kind of getting it from that. And then, of course, you know, the dark leafy greens. And the trick is, too, when you're looking at the vegetables you're eating, that the variety of the colors is important. But what's really important is that there's fat present on the salad, because if there is not, you're not going to absorb them. These are fat-soluble components. The flavonoids in these fruits and vegetables need to have a small amount of fat. So olive oil with a little bit of lemon, and I usually put garlic in there, too. That's my typical salad dressing, because you're going to really absorb them. If you don't have something that has small amounts of fat, even if it's not nuts on the salad, you're not going to absorb these flavonoids. And these are fat-soluble. You want to have them peak in the bloodstream.
Well, then I'm doing the right thing, because my salad dressing is olive oil and unrefined salt.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I think that it tastes better. You know, I used to be a big salad dressing person, that I loved ranch dressing and Thousand Island dressing and all those tasty things. But once I started using olive oil and just unrefined salt, organic olive oil and unrefined salt, you can actually taste the vegetables. And
exactly right.
it tastes so fresh that I don't even want to eat those other salad dressings anymore.
Well, it enhances the flavor, and that's really to be true. And you think about it, and I was looking here, there's another study that came out in cancer prevention. This was August 26th of this year. And they talk about why do fruits and vegetables prevent cancer, okay? And the anti-cancer properties appear to be cell signaling, the topic we're talking about today, the cell signaling. And we know now that this particular cell signaling, I was talking about the cytokines, it down-regulates these cytokines, which can be precancerous initiators. And it starts something what's called, it stops angiogenesis. Angiogenesis is when cancer forms in one area and blood vessels have to come out to feed it particularly, okay? It's kind of like outside of the normal pipeline, so to speak. And angiogenesis is what we want to stop. We want the blood vessels to not go and feed a tumor cell. So we know now that the plants, when you take them and you consume them, these flavonoids stop that process where the blood vessels are able to go and feed onto the cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Wow. So in another show, we learned that sugar feeds cancer. So now we know no sugar and lots of fruits and vegetables, and that would prevent cancer in the first place.
That's exactly right. And this is in a cancer journal this year, less than a month ago. So that's really important. And here's another study I was just looking at today, because I did a full Medline search of anything most recently published. This was just published in Asian Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention. And we see that lutein, bioflavonoid, and lutein, people take it a lot of times for their eyes. Lutein has cell signaling pathways, and it stops the progression of colon cancer. So these bioflavonoids are found in fruits and vegetables to varying degrees. And what you need to do is say, I need to try and incorporate as many of these in every day for disease preventing, activity. Also, too, you can take these things as supplements, and depending if you had a cancer history, I mean, we can prescribe bioflavonoids and these antioxidants that go to certain areas depending on which cancer somebody has. I think someday you're going to see cancer prevention and treatment tailored by their diet.
Wow, that would be so cool. That would be so cool.
That's where we're headed, because luckily the cancer journals are picking up on this, and it's not the pharmacognosy journals and the people just meeting that are plant scientists. It's becoming mainstream that people are embracing this, and cell signaling was all about, remember I talked about dampening the bad signals, enhancing the good signals.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafield. She's a pharmacognosist, and that word, it's pharma is drug, and then cog is intelligence. And so what these plants, these medicinal plants, have intelligence, really. This is what we're talking about, intelligence and the ability to communicate, which I think is so amazing. It's not amazing, but so wonderful, because I think everything alive can communicate. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is pharmacognosist Pamela Seafield, and she uses medicinal plants and other things like fish oils to heal the body instead of drugs. So, Pamela, what else would you like to tell us about cell signaling?
Okay, so flavonoids, and we were talking about these flavonoids, these bioflavonoids and flavonoids in general are found in plants. And there's also other things that can affect cell signals. I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about some of these other things as well. But this is interesting. The flavonoids themselves, and we're talking about all these components in the plant that the cells produce to keep herbivores from eating them, animals grazing in the grass. But they have enhanced activity for us. It's interesting. The cytotoxicity or the anti-cancer effects, this is just some chemistry for some people that are interested in that. This is a brand new study that just came out, and they have found that the reason why this has anti-cancer effects, the flavonoids that are in your salads, is there's a 2-3 double bond in a C ring. There's one of the structures, and when they look for that in the flavonoids, if it has that double bond, it causes what's called mitochondrial poisoning. So the mitochondrial poisoning, mitochondria, if you remember back like in high school, it's the powerhouse of the cell. It's where, some of the energy is produced for the cell. This actually stops, and it is cell signaling, prevents cancer from having the mitochondria perform correctly, and that's why it kills the cancer cell. So they actually know the very mechanism why these components, and you can take them in a supplement or you can take them as well in your salad, why they actually stop cancer from growing. interesting that we see now, too, is that flavonoids are very much in arresting cell cycles with the cell signaling, the cell cycle signaling in breast cancer. And breast cancer, we know, affects like 1 in 8 women in America. So it's one of the most common cancers. And there's a high propensity of people, you know, concerned about cancer, family heredity, BRCA gene testing, but you know, all these sorts of things that are going on right now. But really, a big prevention of breast cancer is consuming flavonoids and consuming them along with the fat we were talking about, the olive oil, to make sure that you get a high peak in the bloodstream. Another interesting study that just came out too, and I think your guests would find this interesting, is that there are inhibitors of cell signaling for cancer, and genistein, which is found in soy, and I'm not saying people go out and eat tons of soy, but I'm saying genistein looks like it has some activity in preventing that. And of course, someone that has a history of breast cancer, eating tons of soy is not a good idea, but small amounts of soy seem to be preventing this, and it stops the signaling from the cancer cells themselves. Now, I want to talk a little bit about resveratrol, because this is a supplement that people take quite a bit.
Yeah.
And resveratrol, I really have high regards for. I'm not so much as it, people say, well, I drink red wine. Well, that's not really quite the same thing. But resveratrol, if you take medical-grade resveratrol in a capsule, it's very, very economical, and it's very effective. And what we found now, the new studies, and this just came out this year, August 21st, Molecular Medicinal Reproductive Technology. And this particular journal was talking about what's going on as far as proliferation or the, you know, the acceleration of cancer. And we see that when you take resveratrol, it induced what's called apoptosis. And apoptosis means that the cancer cell actually bursts open and dies. So resveratrol, its affinity for inducing apoptosis or the actual breaking up of the cancer cell is very high. It's also new studies that just came out prevent cancer in the mouse epidermis. So this means that they look to induce skin cancer in these mice. And this was just published in Cell Molecular Biology in 2014, August 29th. And this shows that resveratrol stopped the mouse epidermis from proliferating for cancer. So it can have anti-cancer effects, especially us being here in Clearwater and having lots of sun exposure. You know, skin cancer is a big problem here in the United States. So preventing skin cancer and the invasiveness of cancer is a brand new study as well. It stops the cancer from actually invading into the tissue. So all this is through cell signaling. That's how it works. All of it's through signaling.
This is just amazing. But I hear that, what is it, like 2 out of 3 people have cancer? Is some big number like that. I think it's different for men and women. I don't remember off the top of my head. But these solutions are so simple.
They're very simple and they're inexpensive. You're going to eat anyways, right? And some of the supplements I'm talking about, the quercetin, resveratrol, if you have a cancer history or so forth, I would be glad to talk to anybody. I don't charge for my time at my pharmacy, and if you had a question about dosages and how to incorporate them and what to eat them with as far as to get the highest peak in the bloodstream as far as where you want it to target, whether you're looking at colorectal cancer or breast cancer, any of your clients that are listening here today can call me sometime at my pharmacy, and I'm just going to give the phone number. It's Botanical Resource, and it's 727-442-4955. And you could check with me and see exactly what you're doing as far as, you know, gearing it towards the right dosage and the right product, and I can help you with that. So we see also another study that just came out in a cancer journal this year, October. Actually, it's October of last year. And it was like the most recent one that came out in this, and it shows that it also, resveratrol, stops the cell signaling for prostate cancer. So we were talking before about how the different flavonoids affect prostate cancer. And prostate cancer, really, for most men that are going to be, you know, in their 60s and 70s, they're going to end up with some kind of prostate issues as well. And now we know that in the past they used to treat these things very aggressively, and they found that there was incontinence and sexual problems and a lot of things that were associated with it. And now they're trying not to be so aggressive because they realize that the outcomes were not as favorable as they thought. So these are some simple things you can take if you're concerned about that, or if you're having males in particular are having some issues with their prostate. These are simple supplements that you can take to prevent this, but at the same time, you can prevent cancer for the skin as well. So this is really something that can be all-encompassing. This now, is I'm going to talk a little bit about fish oil.
Wait, wait, we need to go to break. Actually, we have one more minute. Go ahead.
Next, after the break, we're going to talk about fish oil, and I'm going to talk about how that's cell signaling as well. And this is important because a lot of people take omega-3s, and we want to make sure it's signaling to prevent cancer.
Good. Well, I'll just say that I've been taking fish oil for the last couple weeks, and I absolutely refuse to take fish oil before because I don't eat fish. My body reacts to it pretty badly. But Pamela explained on an earlier show about how fish oil is processed and that if you get a good quality one, then there's no toxic pollutants in it. And it also doesn't have the protein in it that most people react to. And so for the past couple of weeks, I've been taking fish oil with absolutely no problem. And I actually feel very happy taking it. I go, oh, good, fish oil. It must be doing something right in my body. So after the break, she's going to tell us more about those. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is pharmacognosist Pamela Seefeld. And she's at Botanical Resource in Clearwater, Florida. She has a website. It's botanicalresource.com. But you can just call her up on the phone, and when we come back, she'll give her phone number again. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is pharmacognosist Pamela Seefeld, who dispenses medicinal plants to heal the body instead of drugs. Okay, tell us about fish oil. I know that's your favorite subject.
I love fish oil because it's so effective, and it turns on 300 different genes in the body. So we know it's all encompassing. And it goes through the entire body, and of course, because it's fat and fat soluble, it has high penetration into the central nervous system. So we know it works really good to prevent cognitive decline, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all these types of things that people are really concerned about. It has high penetration for the brain, and the brain is mostly made of DHA, but EPA giving it on the front end tends to be more of a mood elevating load. So, but actually, when they find an autopsy, they only find DHA in the brain. So these things are really interesting. Fish oil, you can get DHA from algae, but a lot of times I don't like to use DHA by itself because it can tend to make people depressed. So usually you want to have ratios, and there's different ratios depending on what types of effects we're trying to do as far as mental health. But the cool part about the fish oil, we're talking about the cell signaling. We know it signals cells all throughout the body in a favorable manner. For cardiovascular reduction, it's a 75% reduction in cardiovascular disease. So it's really significant. And we know that what it's doing, too, as well, and this is a new study that I just downloaded talking about on the skin. Like, say someone has a cut or an injury, right, and they're taking fish oil. Mm-hmm. It looks like injury from blood vessel being damaged. Okay, so like, say you get a bruise or a cut. What this seems to be doing is it's protecting the endothelium, okay, the skin, and it allows new blood vessels to go and have more nutrients to the tissue where it's needing repair. So somebody that has maybe diabetic wounds or has even gum disease has something where something's not healing correctly, fish oil can be an adjunct therapy to make sure that the blood vessels deliver the nutrients directly to the wound.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, to me, that is just absolutely amazing because we've known about the effects on the heart, and that's what most people take it for. But really, we know, too, though, that it can prevent the damage that's taking place. It's like, say, something's just not healing correctly, a wound that won't heal properly, or if you have a cut, if you're already on fish oil or taking omega-3s, it's going to make a huge difference as far as the blood vessels reaching the area and delivering medication, nutrients, things that will actually repair where the injury took place. We also see that it helps augment brain repair. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, what I wanted to say is that I'm just thinking about in times past when people ate diets that were not industrial diets. They were eating things like fish, and so getting the fish oils. And they were eating plants that were just right out of the ground. I mean, and you know, if you think about a hunter-gatherer, again, going back to the paleo diet, and you know, every time I say the paleo diet now, I feel like I want to add a disclaimer and say, meaning foods that people actually ate prior to industrialization. Because a lot of what's called the paleo diet now, I look at those recipes and I go, oh my God. because they're not very natural. I mean, even though they're designed around eating, things that are basic to nature. I mean, people didn't eat a pound of bacon for breakfast. I'm sorry.
That's exactly right. And you're correct about that. They've really kind of gone to the deep end saying, okay, all right, we used to eat lots of meat, so that's what we're going to eat, just all this meat.
Right.
And that's not what it's about.
That's not what it's about. And that there is a lot of meat in the paleo diet, a lot of emphasis. But what I found after, like, being on a paleo diet for 3 or 4 months and, you know, just trying it to see how it would work, what I found was that it was way too much meat for my body. Way, way, way. And it's not that I don't eat meat or that I'm a vegetarian or whatever, but it's just the whole emphasis on all this meat because that's what people ate in paleo times. I actually think that they ate a lot more vegetables and fruits because you could go around and gather them. Whereas to eat meat, you have to go kill a big animal.
That's exactly right. And you're right. If we look at these people that are talking about the hunters and gatherers, they weren't sitting there eating steaks all day long. That really was not the situation.
No.
They were eating lots of berries and lots of plants. And this is what they decided to start calling the paleo diet, is just basically eating every kind of meat you want. It's kind of like a modified Atkins, but you throw a few plants in it. And that's not really what we want to do. We want to say that, you know, these plants that I talked about that have, you know, they haven't been changed that much. Colorful vegetables are very important, and making sure that there's fat present in there. All these things are very important, and you can take resveratrol as a supplement. You can take quercetin as a supplement. And fish oil is a very, very important supplement, and especially when you want to have maybe mood elevating or calming effects. I do a lot of mental health, and especially if someone has anxiety or lots of stress, you can take fish oil that takes the edge off and makes you just a lot more relaxed about day-to-day activities.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that since I've been taking fish oil, I don't remember which one you gave, what was the mental health benefit we were going for, but I have noticed, because I've only been taking it for 2 weeks, but I noticed that, not that I was so anxious before, but I noticed my ability to just sit and concentrate and do my work and feel calm and not be worried about things or not be, just have the concentration distracted. That I can just sit here and work very calmly hour after hour after hour. And that's tremendous for me. It's just tremendous. I really see everything that you've given me, I see the benefits. I just see the benefits. And I'll also just mention, just because I'm happy about all of it. I mean, I really encourage you, if you have anything wrong going on or anything that you want to prevent, please call Pamela because she will give you the right thing. One of the things that I've had problems with is sleep. For years, I've had problems with sleep. And she gave me passion flower. And now I just sleep the 8 hours. I just fall asleep and I sleep for 8 hours. And I am so happy.
Well, that's I'm really appreciative. And that's really great. And, you know, too, I have tried probably 10 different passion flower products for different people. And the one I settled on was a prescription quality. So I've really kind of done the legwork. I've been doing this probably 20 years. I've been 25 years as a pharmacist, but I've been doing 20 years probably as natural product pharmacy. We really, it's important to understand that, you know, people take a lot of different things. They might read a magazine or something, but especially knowing and taking the right dose at the right time and how to make sure that what you're taking, you know, respect people's time and money. It's very important. Like the sleep issue, your products that I didn't think were working, I don't have them anymore. And that's what it boils down to, and especially even homeopathy. You know, I'm a big fan of homeopathy, and they're finding now that the homeopathy prevents, it actually affects cell signaling. That's like the brand new studies that came out. So all the things I've been telling people about homeopathy are really true.
It affects the cell signaling favorably. Homeopathy is one of those things where people say, well, there's nothing in the bottle, but the energy of the material is so dilute that it's not like eating an apple or something. But that's interesting that a study has come out to say that, because it just goes to show that very small amounts and even just the energetic imprint of things can affect our bodies.
Well, very much so, because they found that it affected reactive oxygen species, so it reduced that. It helped for mediating cell signaling in a favorable manner. And homeopathy, what's great about it is that you can give this to animals, You can give it to little children. You can give it to adults. And really, a lot of times for homeopathy, I'll give a homeopathic product that I think really can be all-encompassing for a family, and they can all use it in different doses, and everybody comes back feeling better. So people need to embrace that. Homeopathy really is kind of like secret repair, and that's the way I look at it. It kind of goes to the area of where it needs to in each individual and repairs and stops disease processes on multiple levels.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's some amazing, we have so many amazing tools available to us, and they all come back down to nature. The thing that I wanted to say, and I got kind of sidetracked before, was about how in the past, pre-industrially, people were eating the food that was there in nature. And so it included things like fish oils and a lot of plants and all these things that we're talking about. People were getting on a daily basis in their diet because they were eating the foods direct from nature. And the fact that we need to supplement them and be paying attention to them is because our average food supply is processed foods and hybrid foods and all these things. It's so far away from nature. And just as we get back to having the things that we would have if we were just living in a natural environment, then that handles all these diseases because it's we're just getting what we need, what our bodies need. It's just
that's exactly
perfect.
Right. Now people are embracing fresh diets. If you look around, I mean, this is what people want. But it's not just that it's trendy and it's neat. It's the fact that we know that there's certain flavonoids you can take, certain doses of fish oil you can take, certain types of resveratrol, like the passion flower product I was talking about. There's certain things you can take to really target and say, okay, I want a therapeutic outcome. I'm not just taking this because I read about it and I want to take it and it sounds neat. And that's what's really important is using your knowledge. I mean, God gave us everybody unique knowledge and applying those talents is what it's really all about.
Yeah. So I just want to emphasize again what Pamela just said, that it is about getting a therapeutic result. And so if you just are going to read an article or go to the natural food store and pick something off the shelf, call Pamela because she has the experience of knowing what to use for what condition. And she also has the products that she's honed down after 20 years of experience to see what works and what doesn't work. And she's going to give you something that works. And give the number again.
Yes, if they have any questions or would like to contact me, my number here in Clearwater is 727-442-4955. And I would be very honored to help any individual that has questions about medications they want to get off of, or if they just want to enhance their health, or if they actually want to treat a disease state, I would be very happy to share my knowledge.
Thank you very much. And we're at the end of the show, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks from today.
I love it. Thank you.
Pamela Seafield. She's a pharmacognosist, and she's great. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.